If you would, please turn with me in your books, in your Bibles, to the book of Ephesians. We're going to go to the first chapter, verses 7 through 12. And if you're using the Bibles in front of you, you will find that on page 827. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 7 through 12, we read these words. It says this: "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace, that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he proposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times will be reached through their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under the one head, even Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be for the praise of his glory." Awesome words from the Apostle Paul, and look forward to hearing what God has to say to each of our hearts this morning. God bless.
I'm going to ask that you'd please open up to the book of Ephesians chapter 1. In a moment, we're going to look at verses 7 through 12. But I want you to understand something, and to understand that what God has cleansed, don't call unclean. When an individual comes to Jesus Christ in repentance of their sins and receives Jesus as their Savior, they're no longer what they once was. But instead, they is different because of God's grace. Not because of who they are, but because of who He is. Not because of their goodness, but because of His grace. Not because of their passions, but because of his passions for us. Redeemed. The word redeemed means literally lift out of the junk and set on the rock. Made brand new in the image of Jesus Christ. Moved from being a sinner to becoming a saint. Changed from the very essence of who they are to the very opportunity of who God wants them to be. God changes them thoroughly and completely so that they can reflect the image of God in their lives, and that they can live in a fashion that honors Him for the rest of their lives. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you something. Every one of us here in this room has a past. Every one of us. Every one of us in this room has something in our past where we have sinned, and where we are deeply burdened by that and ashamed of it. But when we enter into a relationship with Jesus Christ, that's gone. It is washed away. We are changed, we are made new in the image of Jesus Christ. What a story each and every one of us has that needs to be told. We need to let people know that we have moved from being what self took us into to being what salvation has made us. We have been redeemed, bought back with the price of the blood of Jesus Christ, purchased away from sin and Satan to be a part of the family of God. And we should rejoice that we are a part of God's family. this particular passage of Scripture in the book of Ephesians, I want us to look at this. Ephesians chapter 1, again, I'm going to read verses 7 through 12, and then I want to share with you six things out of this passage about this subject of redemption. Paul writes this to the church at Ephesus. He says, "In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of His grace, which He lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight. He made known to us the mystery of His will according to His kind intention, which He proposed in Him, with a view to an administration suitable to the fullness of the times, that is, the summing up of all things in Christ, things in the heavens and things upon the earth. In Him also we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to His purpose, who works all things after the counsel of His will, to the end that we who were the first to hope in Christ should be to the praise of His glory." It's not about us. It's about Him. It's not about who we are. It's about who He is. It's not about who we have been. It's about who He has made us. It's not about our past. It's about our present on into the future. God is at work in the lives of His children, making them over into the image of Jesus Christ to the praise of His Father. It's not about us. It's about Him. It's not about our glory. It's about His glory. We need to always remember that. The enemy will try to cheapen the grace of God to tell us that what we is, we always will be. And that's a lie, because God has higher will and a higher standard for us than what we are now. And there is, and I don't care if you're here and you're 131 years old. I think that covers everybody. I don't think we have anyone here over 131. Do we? And I'm just not aware of it. All right. Well, then that covers everybody here. God has a plan to continue to make us over into the image of Jesus Christ, to help us to grow and to become deeper in our faith and closer in our walk and our relationship with Him. God does not have a plan for us to settle with who we are. God does not have a plan for our contentment. God has a plan for our progress in faith. God has a plan for our growth and for our changing into being more of who He is. That's what God plans for us. God has plans to prosper us in our spiritual lives. God has plans to give us hope in the midst of a hopeless world. God has plans to give us help when we are utterly helpless. God has plans to give us Himself in all of His fullness if we'll just simply stop being stubborn clay and allow the Master Potter to make us over into what He wants us to be. God has plans to redeem us, not to restrict us. God has plans to help us, not to harm us. God has plans to give us hope, not to leave us struggle with hopelessness. Six things I want to share with you out of this passage today. I want to share with you, first of all, the redemption. Secondly, the revelation. Third, the regard. Fourth, the regulation. Five, the redistribution. And by the way, you'll have to leave out the 2008 campaign on that. And then number six, I want you to consider the rejoicing. All right, let's look at the first one. First of all, the redemption. Look at verses 7 and 8. Paul, as he's writing to the church at Ephesus, says this: "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight." You see, that's redemption. When we were walking apart from Christ, when we were walking as a part of the world, we were lost and getting filthy and filthy and filthy. We were stuck in the mud and the mire and the muck of this world. We were caught up in the grips of sin, and there just was literally utter hopelessness for us if we remain in that condition. But God lavishly poured out redemption for us, and Jesus reached down and lifted us up out of the miry clay, and he set our feet on the solid rock, which is Jesus Christ. He redeemed us from a life of hopelessness to a life of salvation. He redeemed us from the enemy who wanted to destroy us and put us into the hands of his Father who wanted to comfort us. That's redemption. That's redemption. Makes us new. Old things are gone. The new has come. What is the new? It is righteousness and true holiness according to God's will and God's plan. Folks, don't ever cheapen the redemption of God by falling back into a life of sin. Don't cheapen it, because that will destroy your spiritual life. It will destroy your influence. It will destroy your witness and your testimony. Instead, live like the redeemed people of God. For when we live like the redeemed, we're able to impact our world. And redemption, ladies and gentlemen, is God's plan, not ours. Had we never heard of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, we would have been just as content to live in the slop of the world. But once we heard that God had a better way, it produced in us a hunger for something new, which is really something old. The newness is the change that is brought about. The oldness is that we become what God originally intended us to be. Redemption is the plan of God to reach down and lift man out of sin and place him in the family of God. Secondly, I want you to notice the revelation of this. Look at the first part of verse 9. He made known to us the mystery of his will. He made known to us the mystery of his will. Do you know what God's will is? It's very simple. We make it tough. God's will is this: that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's God's will. That's it. That's it summed up. And once we enter into that kind of a relationship with Him, once we enter into a relationship where we're seeking the will of God, where we receive redemption, where we are lifted out of a muck and mire life, then our passion becomes to follow Him and to live for Him in a way that brings glory to Him, because He's the one that's worthy. It's less about us and more about Him. And you see, that's the revelation that God gave us. God didn't want us to be eternally separated from Him. He didn't want that at all. He wanted us instead to be a part of the family. He wanted us to be brothers with Jesus. He wanted us to be sisters with Jesus. He wanted us to be a part of the bride of Christ. He wanted us to be a part of His eternal kingdom. He wanted us to be able to come into His presence with joy and not dread. Over the past couple of weeks, a lot of people in this church and a lot of people outside of this church have been going through a tremendous amount of grief because of the loss of loved ones. And you want to know something? There's a difference. There's a difference when someone dies who knew the Lord and someone dies that we're going, not sure. There's a difference. Part of that difference is those who have died and they knew Jesus, we know that it's not goodbye. It's see you later. We know that there'll be reunion. Those of you who have loved ones who have gone on to meet God and you know that that moment was a time of rejoicing, that moment was a type of preciousness in the eyes of God, because the book of Psalms tells us that precious in the sight of God is the death of His children. Those who have received Him, that's a precious moment, because they are finally fulfilling their purpose of what they were created for, and that was they were created for His presence. And they've reached that point and they've crossed over. And it's a time of celebration in heaven. I have often wondered, when our loved ones get there, do they see what goes on, and do they look at us and go, what are you crying about? Man, this is happy time up here. This is time of celebration. This is incredible. Do they wonder? Or do they say, you guys have got to see this. Make sure you're right, because this is awesome. This is incredible, and I want you to experience this. It's probably a good thing that God does not allow them to have conversation with us afterwards. And by the way, you ain't supposed to do that. So if you're going to these people that are, well, we'll communicate with your great aunt, you have no idea who they're talking to. But nonetheless, you want to avoid that kind of thing, because that is strictly, strictly, strictly forbidden in the Word of God. So be careful. You don't get caught up in that. Where was I going? The revelation. God has revealed to us His will, and that is that we repent and find relationship with Him. and have our sins taken care of. Number three, I want you to notice the regard. Look at the second part of that ninth verse. He's made known to us the mystery of His will according to His kind intention, which He proposed in Him. Now, that's an interesting statement. According to His kind intention. You see, God had a plan for us to have relationship with Him before this world was ever formed. All right? We talked about this while I confused my Sunday school class this morning. But we had talked about this. Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God that was slain before the foundation of the world. You see, God knew that once he completed the creation of man, once He got that done and He breathed into mankind the breath of life, He knew that there was going to come a moment when man would sin. And God, being so pure, being so holy, being so righteous, could not allow sin into His kingdom. Now stop and think about it. That's what happened with the war between God and Lucifer. That's what happened when a third of the angels decided they were going to cast their lots with Lucifer. And they were going to be a part of that crowd. What'd God do? He expelled them from heaven. Ezekiel said, "And I beheld Satan falling as lightning." He was cast out, utterly defeated. And God reigned supreme. Why did that happen? Because God intended for His kingdom to be a place of purity and holiness, a place of love and grace, a place where there would never be sickness and disease and sorrow and crying. None of that stuff there. But instead, God will wipe away all tears from their eyes. He's got a big hanky. And He's going to use it to dry the eyes of every one of us. God will wipe away all tears. And you see, that's how much regard He has for us, that before the world was formed, He came up with this plan whereby He, in the person of Jesus Christ, would take on Satan, would take on sin, and would win the victory so that we could have life. I'll tell you, that idea was His, not ours. And that whole plan was His, not ours. Why? Because He wanted us to have a shot at being a part of His family and a part of His kingdom. And when we repent of our sins and receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, He takes us in as a full-fledged member of the family. We're joint heirs with Jesus, full-fledged members of God's family. That's the regard that He has for you and I. He wasn't willing to leave us in sin, but He redeemed us through the power of Jesus Christ, through the authority of the resurrection, through the promise of the return. What a great, incredible God we have the opportunity to serve. Wow. We're out of time. I'm halfway done. Cover these last three real quick. Number four, I want you to notice the regulation. Look at verse 10. With a view to an administration suitable to the fullness of the times, that is the summing up of all things in Christ, things in the heavens and things upon the earth in Him. The regulation is this, very simply, it's going to be God's way and no other way. And God's way is the way of holiness. God's way is the way of redemption and forgiveness and purity. Jesus said it like this, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." It's not the one that yells the loudest. It's not the one that runs the fastest. It's not the one who gives the mostest. All right? It's the one who walks in holiness before God, because they've sold themselves out to Him totally and completely. That's the regulation, folks. If you don't like that regulation, you talk to God about it. Because blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. That's holiness. There's no other way. And then note the redistribution, verse 11. "Also, we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to His purpose, who works all things after the counsel of His will." We have obtained an inheritance. God has redistributed all of His wealth to distribute it among His children. Wow! Stop and think about that. We cannot fully imagine the wealth of our dad. We can't imagine it. And yet He's going to freely pour it out on us. We can't imagine the privilege of being able to walk right up to the throne. And yet God welcomes us. Try that with the president. See what happens. But you try it with God, and He welcomes you. He doesn't care what your history was, what your background was. He cares about whether or not you've been covered by the blood of Jesus, whether you have been redeemed from sinfulness into salvation. That's all He cares about. And you have the privilege of a son going to his father. What an awesome privilege. And that brings, number 6, the rejoicing. Look at verse 12. "To the end that we who were the first to hope in Christ should be to the praise of His glory." Again, it's not because of us, it's because of Him. And we need to praise Him and honor Him and worship Him and love Him so that He can have His full way in us and that we can become all that He wants us to be. Why? Because we've been redeemed. The blood of His Son has covered the sins of His children. Let's stand. I've kept you over by 2 minutes. It's a good thing about God is you're going to have to forgive me. But I want you to know something. God loves you. Jesus Christ died that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly. I want you to know that He doesn't care what's in your past. He's concerned with where you are right now. And He has a plan for you to become more of what He wants every day if you'll follow Him and His way. Because of the lateness of the hour, we're not going to sing an invitation song, but I'm going to have a prayer. And we're going to ask Matt to come and lead us in our benediction. But I want you to know that during this prayer, if God is speaking to you and saying to you, you know, you haven't received me as your Lord and Savior, I want you to know this altar's open. And I'll take as much time after the service as need be. I don't care about that. But I don't want your lunch burning and me being the reason for it. All right? But I want you to know that if God is speaking to you and saying to you, you need to take my Son Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, this altar is the place to be today. Come and receive Him as your Lord and Savior. So if you'd like to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior today, I invite you to come as we're praying. So let's pray, and if God is speaking, you step out. Don't wait for somebody else. Shall we pray? Our gracious Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for the amazing gift of salvation. Thank you for the incredible promises that you have given us, that you love us enough that you died for us, but that you're willing to change us and to make us new and to redeem us from the sinfulness of this world, to make us into saints that are privileged to come into your presence when this life is done. Father, thank you for your amazing grace. Thank you for your redemption. Now, Lord, as we leave this place today, let us leave in your presence. Let us leave with hope. And joy. And we'll give you our praise. For it's in your awesome and incredible name that we pray and ask all of these things. And all of God's people said, Amen. Thank you for being here this morning. God bless you. Matt, would you please lead us in a benediction?